You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm Steven.
I'm Brett.
And we are the Broadway Husbands. And welcome to episode 13 of the Broadway Husbands podcast.
I can't believe we're already at episode 13.
I feel so lucky.
I feel so lucky, number 13. We had some great responses to our previous podcasts, including the live recording we did with Stephanie Stiles and Catherine Gallagher from the Broadway Con.
Broadway Besties.
Which I unfortunately was not able to be at. I
mean, do you think like maybe that had something to do with the good response?
Yeah, I think it was all you and Alan. It was all you and Alan.
I tried my best.
And then the one that released with the Shirtless Violinist, which was actually just such a great interview because there was just so much to talk about. They're not in our industry. We've always talked to people who are in our industry.
Yeah, so we had a lot to talk about. More like just things that we could relate to one another. Our lives felt very similar.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to those episodes, go back and take a listen. Make sure you write a review on wherever you listen to our podcast. Give us a thumbs up and five stars and all that. Take a screenshot and share it on your social media and let people know to subscribe to the Broadway Husbands podcast because we've got a lot more cool content coming your way. So since we had this little, you had this discussion with Stephanie Stiles where I couldn't be there, but one of my favorite quotes from that podcast was when she told Catherine Gallagher that she was the Epcot center to her, or she was the, what did she say? Spaceship Earth. She was her spaceship Earth. Do you remember that?
I do, but what was the quote? Say it.
She was like,
she's
talking
the
about
spaceship
how she,
Earth to her Epcot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Spaceship she was Earth. Like, you know, she was saying, like, I've learned so much from you, Epcot Center for Life. Like, everyone needs a Catherine Gallagher. She's like the spaceship
yes,
Earth in my
totally
life.
Yeah, she totally did say that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, curses, why am I not here for this reference? Because
I know.
I'm such a Disney nerd. And we actually were guests on a podcast called Gays Do the D, which is a reference on...
It's for Disney,
Disney
not the other D.
Not the big D, which is also important.
Wait, what's the other D?
Darkness? Diana division? The Musical?
Long Division?
but so we've talked about our Disney in our lives, but we've never actually talked about it on this podcast. And so I thought it'd be really interesting to talk a little bit about what
my point of view and your point of view.
I would love to know your point of view
and the journey that my spaceship Earth journey through your Epcot.
Oh, damn. That just went.
Wow. Really? Sorry. I don't know where that came from. Let's rewind it.
Okay.
To the year 2007.
Yeah.
Brett and I had, I guess we've been dating at this point, the D or whatever you want to call it. Was it around your birthday that you went on this trip?
Yeah, it was in May.
Okay, so it was in May. So, yeah. So we were very... very new, and we had been friends probably for at least 6 months at this point, and a little bit more for maybe 6 weeks. Brett was going on a vacation to Disney World. Were you going for the entire week?
I was going for a few days. And I, at this point, I went to Disney every few years. Like, I was not like a frequenter the way I
the what it is today. Yeah.
But my friend Craig was a flight attendant and was like, let's go to Disney together. And I said, sure. And since he could like get me a deal on a flight, and we ended up getting some, you know,
you stayed at Port Orleans.
Stayed at Port Orleans, and we were going to like do it all out, stay, eat at California Grill.
So he had this vacation planned because at the time he was in Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. So he was taking his week's vacation. And like I said, we were very early in our relationship. And I can remember, like, I feel like either you flew really late at night or you flew really early in the morning. But I remember, I guess it was early in the morning, and I had spent the night, and I remember like walking you to the cab and like saying goodbye. And like, do you remember this?
Not really. I know.
I do. I must have been early in the morning. We must have like, I must have slept over, and we must have gotten up, and I like got ready when you got ready, and I walked you to the car, and I remember saying goodbye. And something had happened with Craig where he ended up not being able to go to the trip with you. And so Brett was now going on his vacation by himself, basically.
To Disney World by himself.
Which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. And I don't think, you know, well, it just wasn't what you had planned. Because I don't think it's, maybe that's.
Well, I actually thought it wouldn't be so bad either. I was like, I'm going to go to Disney by myself and I'm going to do so much. But then you get there and you realize you're doing all these fun things and you have no one to share it with. And at moments, like, that's okay. But about halfway through the day, I was like, this is so depressing.
Right.
Like, I'm going to go back to the hotel by myself. I'm going to eat dinner by myself.
And so I don't remember much about our correspondence while you were there. Like, I'm assuming we were like texting, maybe talking on the phone. I honestly don't remember that part of it. But at some point during the week, Brett had, we had spoken. What's the proper? We talked. And he was just telling me that he had these reservations to the
California Grill.
And he was just kind of upset because, like, he didn't have anyone to go with and he was going to have to go by himself. And so after I got off the phone with him, I had this brilliant, brilliant idea. Definitely, I think, sealed the deal. No, I'm just kidding. I started looking up flights. I think that I knew that I was off on Saturday. I think I was done on Saturday from, like, and I don't remember if it was a Saturday or Sunday, but I was done and I had like at least a day and a half off from work. At the time I was in City Ballet and I knew I had a day and a half off. So I found a flight and I found out what time his reservation was at. And I booked the flight to get there in time to go to dinner with him and then spend some of the next day there with him too. And then go back and I had to go to work. But I then called him. I'm pretty sure I called you back and was like, hey, I was going to try and surprise him, but I don't think that would have been possible. I was like, I better just tell him. So I was like, hey, what would you think if I came to dinner with you? And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And so I ended up going the next day.
It was very romantic.
Very romantic. I met him there and we went to dinner and we watched the fireworks and it was awesome.
And there was extra magic hours.
There was extra magic hours and we ended up running around Magic Kingdom for like at least 3 hours that night. I remember riding Splash Mountain multiple times. We definitely rode Space Mountain a couple of times.
Haunted Mansion.
Like, I can just remember just running around and being so excited. And it was really, 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 really fun. And like I said, it was in the beginning of our relationship. So we were like, or at least I can only speak for myself. I was, you know, I was so happy to be there. And, and so that was kind of, and at, up until that point in my life, I think I had only been to Disney World once when I was 5. And then once when I was like 11 or 12. And then the other times I'd been to Disney parks was like when I was on tour with the ballet. Like, I went to Disneyland because I was in LA, or I was in Japan. And so I went to Disney World there. So those were the only times I had really ever been. You know, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't a regular thing in my life or anything. So I go to this trip. It's very romantic. I think that it made him fall in love with me more.
It was so sweet. The fact that you just like called me back and like, I booked a flight, I'm coming.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he knew at that time the depths of my Disney obsession.
I wasn't aware.
And I think that he almost, like, at that moment when that happened, it was like, he can see it all now. I'm just going to show it all to him. Like, yeah. I was like, I love Disney.
Yeah.
And Stephen was never, like, that obsessed. Really?
I mean, I liked it a lot, but
people always ask me, like, why, you know, I've had even, like, I remember this guy, Nick, I was on tour with, was like, you're such an enigma because you're like, you're an artist and like a performer and you love Disney. And I was like, why do you have to, like, you know, it's so interesting how people perceive it.
Is that a rare thing?
I mean, well, certainly not in our circles, yeah. But I think for some people it is. And I think for me, like, Disney became a thing as a kid, of course, as it does for most people, but because of the Disney Channel, because cable was, you know, new and we were kids. But I think also, like, this guy, I did God, I can't think of his name right now, but this one guy I know had a theory about gay kids and how they identify with Disney characters because of, there's always this, they don't fit in. You think about Aladdin, right? They don't fit in. And then they find a place where they fit in, right?
Oh, I thought I just liked Aladdin because he wore a vest.
Well, I'm just kidding. Too. But anyway, I think also I had, you know, my brother's autistic and has special needs. And I always sort of identified with the underdog, okay. You know, and always sort of, I think those Disney movies are so great for that. But what I love about, like, the parks is, like, it really is, everyone's like always talks nowadays about how site specific theater and environmental productions, you know, like,
that's true.
Disney's
that's
been exactly doing that for like that decades.
Yep. Yeah, that's very true. I never thought of it like that.
That's what Disney is. Yeah. It's like, so funny to me that, you know, people are like, oh yeah, I saw Sleep No More. It's like, well, you can also, like, go to Adventureland. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I never even thought of that.
So, yeah. So, we really, when it took a big turn for me was during Little Mermaid.
Okay.
When you bought me.
Okay, wait. So we did that romantic weekend or days or whatever. And so now I was aware that he was definitely very interested in Disney. And then he started doing the Little Mermaid. And then our relationship really became, you know, the beginnings of what it is today. And so then it was like even more Disney centric. I don't know. Like, or I was like, I was aware that you were really interested and really liked it. And so that first Christmas, one of the gifts that I got you was the Walt Disney biography by
Neil Gabler.
Thank you.
Triumph of the American Imagination.
Yes.
It's a great book.
And so this next part I feel like is kind of my fault because I got him this biography, and like shortly after Christmas that year, Brett was ordering all of the DVDs. At that point, we were still watching DVDs.
I literally would read a chapter he made the movie Fantasia, and I'd be like, I gotta get the
DVD.
Or
just any like Disney short that was mentioned in the book, he was now ordering, and things were just showing up by the droves, and
not by the droves. That's an exaggeration.
Is it? Is it? So that's kind of how that kind of blossomed. And then,
I remember like reading the chapter about the creation of Disneyland. I'd been to Disneyland in high school for a dance competition. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't been to Disneyland since, and I'm reading this whole chapter about the creation of Disneyland and Walt's sort of inspiration behind it and all the True Life Adventures and Marceline, Missouri. And I'm like, as I'm learning about how Main Street came to be and how all the different lands came to be, I'm like, I have to go here. Like, I need to go there as a research trip to understand what I'm reading. And so for that same Christmas that you got me that book, you had also purchased a flight to Paris.
That's right.
I was going to come with you to Paris, but then you went like with City of LA. This was, we were like,
this
so
was
young.
In 2007.
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
Okay.
And then he booked Billy Elliot And when he booked Billy Elliot, we had to cancel the trip to Paris. And I just changed my flight to go to Anaheim.
But when
did you
remember
that?
Yeah, but when did you actually make the Anaheim trip?
It was like September or something, because I went with Becky, remember?
Oh, right. Okay.
And and my friend Becky, who lives in Vegas. Hey, Bex. And so I was, but it was strictly a research trip. I was like, I'm going to walk in Walt's footsteps at Disneyland. And I was like determined to go by myself. I had read all the stuff. I knew all the things. And so it just kind of got deeper. The obsession got a little deeper.
Yeah. And that was kind of like the beginning of it. And I think from that period, that point on, we started kind of regularly, more regularly going to a Disney park at least once or twice a year. Like, I feel like since that moment, I've gone at least once a year, you know, to a Disney park.
If it doesn't, it literally, if I'm in a 2 mile radius, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, if I'm within a like 50 mile radius, I'm going to go.
Yeah, you're definitely going to, if you're in the same state, if you're in Florida, you're going to go. If you're
in California.
Yeah.
And so the biggest, like the worst meaning like the most obsessed year was 2010. Mm-hmm. When I went on tour with South Pacific.
Oh, right.
Because I booked South Pacific and the tour was in Los Angeles at the Amundsen. And so I had negotiated in my contract to fly a day early before I start rehearsal just so I could go to Disneyland the day before I started.
I remember.
He was so mad at me. And then I think I went again while we were still performing in LA. Mm-hmm. And then the tour went to, like 3 months later was playing Orange County. And I went to Disneyland both days off. And then, and previous to that job, I had done a show in Florida and I went to Disney World twice. So literally in that 2010, I think I went to a Disney park six times.
Wow.
And Stephen was like,
wow,
livid.
I mean, I don't know that I was livid, but
you were,
I was
so annoyed.
Definitely. I don't remember the details of my lividness, but I do, from what you're telling me, leaving early to go on the tour so that you can go to Disneyland, that makes me angry right now.
Why? So, what makes you angry?
Because then you
it?
Were just trying to leave early. So you wanted to just like, you're like, well, I got to go early so I can go to Disneyland.
Well, they were paying for the flight and I had a place to stay.
Yeah, but there, that was just more time away. I see what was happening.
Oh, so you're just jealous because you wanted me to be with you.
Well, because I think I was busy working.
Because sometimes I wonder if you're jealous because you just want to come and you want to be with me.
Well, yeah. Park. I mean, it's both. It's like, I think at the time I was probably working my butt off and I was like, ugh. And you're leaving to like go have fun. And I'm like stuck here.
But I would want you to have fun.
I know. But I just remember, I think that's really, I'm jealous of the fact that you're having fun. I want to like not be like, I think at the time I was just working like crazy. So yeah. I was just like,
yeah, you were.
Yeah.
I mean, that show was a lot of work for you. Yeah. South Pacific.
Wasn't.
I hate to say it. But that was probably the most time I spent at a park. But anyway, it has now grown into this thing where we go pretty much once a year at a minimum.
Yes. And so I will just say the year 2019, I believe I only went once. Is that the only time you went?
Yeah.
When February, when your students were performing there. And that was a very quick stay.
That's like probably the longest. Literally this is the longest we've gone in a while without going.
Drove one day, got there for the evening, spent a day, and then left the next day.
Okay. And here's the thing that most people say to me. They're like, it's so expensive. How do you afford to go? And usually the way we're able to do it is we have friends who work there. So if you have friends who work there, they have privileges that are awarded to them as cast members to walk people in, to have guests come in. So we've had friends who...
We're not always...
We don't always do that. And here's
the
reason.
But we have paid full price too.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. When you do that, you are obliged to be with those friends, yeah. right? And which we love, yeah. but there are also times where we want to go and we don't want to be obliged. Like we yeah. really want to do our own thing, so yeah. we pay for tickets.
We've kind of done both, yeah.
There's also been moments where I, having worked for Disney at those times, where I was able to get park tickets through connections at Disney. But now, like we usually, if we stay at like one of the All-Star resorts, we can get, it's super affordable, it's yeah. super cheap.
Yeah.
You know, we found out if we rent a car.
If we were paying like full price for everything, I don't think we would go that often.
No.
But like sometimes we're able to get some discounts and it's really, really helpful. And that's why I allow it. And over time, I don't know that I'm as obsessed, but I definitely love it. And we have very good time.
We do have fun.
Yeah. I mean, this is the whole point. So like that first time that I went to meet you, it was so much fun. Like I can remember just being like, oh my God, this is like, I hadn't ridden some of those attractions in so long. And it was just like, just.
You said attraction.
See?
He's learning.
See, I'm.
He's
I can't
teachable.
Help myself. I'm teachable. I've learned. I know things now that I didn't know before. My spaceship Earth has explored this Epcot and it's learned so much. No. But yeah, I mean, the riding the attractions, I remember that first time going back there with you, it was just so much fun and we always have a good time.
Well, you know what? You know when I felt challenged by you?
When?
Is one of the trips we took.
How many times today?
And we had gone to California. We'd gone to Florida, and then I think we'd gone to Japan,
uh-huh.
maybe at this point. And you were like, I don't know the difference between Pirates of the Caribbean. Or you said something like, I don't know the difference in that. They all seem the same to me. And I made it a goal to teach you the difference between the California to Florida versus... You're like, and you know now, like you have a little bit more of a
Disneyland
distinction.
Disneyland is way better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way better.
It's longer.
Yeah, it's way better. Same with the Space Mountain in Disneyland is
so much better.
So when you ride, you're like, boy, this is
there's a soundtrack.
Yeah, it's so much better.
So much better.
Yeah.
Fantasyland in California is great.
Yeah. But you know, I even learned to enjoy attractions like the Storybook ride.
Storybook canal boats.
I've learned to love Storybook canal boats. Like we've even really enjoyed those attractions.
Yeah.
Like everything.
Because they're like classics.
Yeah. And also because Brett has read all of these books now, what happens is we go and he like points out that this window pane right here, you know, you see how it's curved and you see how the sun is coming in? You can kind of see a Mickey at 3:01 p.m. The way it reflects off that building over there, you can see a hidden Mickey sometimes there. A lot of people don't know that.
They'll say things like that. It's really funny.
And we have like some really great, we've made some really great friends.
Awesome friends.
Who work in Orlando and work in Anaheim.
Yep.
Who enable?
Definitely they enable. They enable Brett.
I would say support.
Support. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think Steven might say enable.
Yes.
So we're going on our first trip in over a year.
Yes.
In a few weeks. And so of course the weeks leading up to it, I start planning.
Freaking out.
And what do we start with the planning?
I would say the first thing that starts now is the Disney bounding.
And what we're going to wear.
What are we going to wear?
Because we got a Disney bound.
See, so this is the way I've been broken down over the years, too. The very first time he told me about this Disney bounding, I think we've talked about this on here before, is that he mentioned it, and my first response was, absolutely not. No. You've got to be kidding me. Like, I love you, but... Calm down.
You also said the same thing about getting married and buying a house, buying an apartment.
All right.
And then we did
this. Is a little bit different. So so I said no. And then, you know, Brett doesn't take no for an answer. And so then I agreed to doing it one day And then we ended up going, I think we went for 3 days that time, and we ended up Disney bounding all 3 days. And it was a lot of fun. And this is the other thing that happens in our relationship, is that I like to pull the reins and then Brett pulls back until he gets his way. And then I say yes. And then after we do it, he's like, see, you never trust me. I told you. Anyways, so that's the dynamic there. And so
it's
very true. So the first time, the first thing that we start planning, or as of late, is Disney bounding.
Yeah, because Disney bounding really has changed the experience, I think.
Well, it definitely like eliminates like how you pack. You're like, oh, well, we're gonna wear this and that.
And
great,
also
done
like,
and done.
You look so much better on the photos when you're wearing something that's been styled and coordinated, and
you know, and we don't go for like costumey Disney bounding.
No.
I would never agree to that.
No.
Let's say, I hope.
So we're planning that. We're gonna hit the new Rise of the Resistance Star Wars, and in preparation for that, we watched all of the Star Wars movies in order.
But the main reason why we did that was because we were both sick.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like we were like, let's just do this.
But it was
like,
nice preparation
for this. Yeah, it got us really excited. And Brett, you know, I don't know, was like a huge Star Wars person before, but now he like acts like he knows as much about it as he knows about like Disney World. He'll say things about it. And I'm like, oh, you weren't into this before. And now that's Disney, you're into
this.
Well,
now I know about it.
All right.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So we are getting excited to go take a little
excited?
3 day.
I'm like, I can't wait.
I know, we got to get out of here.
I can't wait.
We need a break.
I need some sunshine.
And then we're going to go to Key West.
And then we're going to Key West because my parents are having their 50th wedding anniversary and they're getting remarried on a
catamaran.
Catamaran.
Parents are going to be there too.
So it's going to be a whole thing. So maybe there will be a podcast coming up about how to deal with
drunk parents at Margaritaville
in
Key West.
Yeah. yeah. So mostly right now we're just preparing what we're going to wear. Sounds really
got our fast passes.
Got our hotel. We're ready. Like we're just
counting the days
and the hours.
So we thought it would be fun to share with you guys a little bit of our Disney obsession. Hopefully,
and that's just the beginning of the history.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, there's certainly more stories. If you want to know more stories, hit us up in the DMs.
Yeah.
And
ask us,
and we will tell you. But now we want to go to our segment.
Spotlight on Love. All right. Here we discuss. Oh.
So we have today, actually, because we have not had anyone write in and we want you guys to write in.
Please write in. We want to answer your questions as best as we can.
Relationship advice, even if it's parental advice.
Yeah. Any kind of relationship or any advice.
But
really,
we do think you'll get a kick out of this conversation because it is about
our newest, not obsession, but something that we've been watching as much as we can get, as fast as they put them out, is this show on Netflix called
Love is Blind. How did we even stumble on it?
I don't know. I think it's like was one of the first shows like on the
on
banner.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, on
it
Valentine's
was like suggested.
Day. And it's not something I would typically click on. I think you may have clicked on it first. And I was like, yeah, I thought about watching it. And so it's the premise of this dating show is people go to this giant set basically with lots of rooms that are connected but have walls in the middle. That doesn't make sense.
So you can't see yourself.
So you
see
can't
them.
See the other person. So you go into these rooms.
Men and women are separated.
Men and women. It's a straight show.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
But there's like men and women who are separated and living together. And they've built these pod rooms where they can go on dates with the men and women, but there's a wall dividing them, so they can't see them. And mm-hmm. they go on dates in these pods, and then they decide if they connect with that person. The idea is to test. They keep calling it an experiment.
An experiment. They're like, the experiment. When I'm in the experiment.
To see if love actually is blind. Can you fall in love with someone without seeing them? And then the thing is, here's the kicker. 35 days later, they get married.
Yeah, like they propose to each other and then they get married without...
Can they touch each other through this pod? They just can't see each
other?
Well,
here's the
just
thing.
Just through emotions.
So, once
like
they,
it would be like me touching you right
once
now.
Once they think they know who they want to marry...
I'm violated.
Once they know, quote unquote, who they want to marry... They can then meet them face to face, but they have to propose first. So
in order to actually see the person, you have to propose them without having seen them.
And then once they see them, you get to see like whether or not they actually are disappointed or like, is it what they thought the person would look like? Now, no one is really unattractive. It's a very attractive
group
of people.
Yeah, everyone is... Totally cute and hot.
Funny. And then Nick Lachey is like the host, and you know, he's totally hot, and he's got his wife is hosting with him. It's incredibly heterosexual, I will say. I'm slightly offended by that.
Why are you offended?
Because I think it's a little, it feels a little discriminatory in a way.
Well, like, no, but it's just easier for like a show to organize itself so that they know, like if they were dealing with that, just they have to have other rooms for the certain gay part. And then you know what I mean?
It's be curious to see if if they did.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could,
a series.
Totally. You know. Totally. But I don't think it's anything to be offended over.
I don't know. I feel the same way watching The Bachelor. It's like a little bit like,
but it's not as offensive as The Bachelor is definitely.
I can't even watch The Bachelor.
Yes.
It's just like, blech. So anyway, this is actually kind of fun because it is interesting to see like if they can actually have a real connection.
And
we got deep. Like we started spiraled.
They're calling it a 3-week event and they've only released the first week's episodes and we watched them so quickly. Like I couldn't believe that I was like, oh my God, we got to keep watching. Like,
what's going to happen to Jessica?
Yeah.
So we thought it'd be interesting to actually discuss, do we think that we could have matched?
Okay, yeah. So first we're going to talk about what our relationship would have been like had we been like met each other in a room where we couldn't see each other. Okay, so.
What's your theory?
My theory is that we were actually friends from like, I remember really meeting you for the first time, August of 2006. And we were friends then from that point on until something more happened.
But see, I will say, like, I was so physically attracted to you the minute I saw you. Like, with your blonde highlights.
With my blonde highlights.
But I was like,
God, I got to get those back.
You were just like so... And still, to me, just so beautiful, and I couldn't stop staring at you. So I don't...
Well, yeah, I couldn't stop staring at you either, so I guess maybe...
But I don't know if, like, without that, would we have been able to...
But what I was going to say is that our initial times together, we had, like, constraints of, like, not pushing boundaries, like, as in, like, we were going to date or anything more. So...
That's true.
We talked a lot, kind of like we were in a pod, and, like... Because we did. We were really like super open and honest and talked about like everything. And I think that was like the foundation of like why our relationship went on to become more and has lasted for so long is because in the beginning, we really weren't trying to pretend like we were somebody else, or I mean, not that I was like doing that on a regular basis, but I will say, you know, like one of the girls on the show, what is her name?
Jessica,
you know, she talks like this in an interview, and then she'll be on, in the pod, and she'll be like, hey, baby, hi. Like, so, I mean,
and
I
she's
wasn't,
like, she has this whole hang up about her age. She's 34, and she's like, I'm 34, and I've not met the guy, and blah, blah, blah. And then she goes into this pod and she starts talking to these guys, and I'm like, well, there's your problem.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I don't know that we were doing things like that. It's like my point of bringing that up and
trying to pretend to be somebody or not.
We definitely weren't pretending. I wasn't putting on a voice.
So, Alan, we need a straight guy's perspective.
Alan,
what was our thing?
What's our new segment?
Here it is.
Straight guy's perspective.
Straight guy's perspective.
Yeah, straight guy's perspective.
Whatever. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Alan.
Do women, in your experience, do they change the pitch of their voice?
I have never had a woman... It changed the pitch of her voice like that.
Never had that.
No, so to me.
Have you witnessed it?
No.
It's so obvious. Have you witnessed
it? I've seen guys change, like, you know, they fluff their feathers metaphorically.
Uh-huh.
But
maybe you're just not aware of it because you're
maybe
a
you're
straight
not
guy's perspective. But we have someone else here who could chime
in. Yeah, Bea, our Bea, office manager.
How about a straight girl's perspective?
I just love that the question was to Ellen as a straight man. And the question was, in your experience, does women? And I was like, hold on a second.
Oh, yeah. You just set me up to mansplain.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
That's literally what just happened.
But he's around. Like, I mean, we can talk about this, too. Like, mm-hmm. we both grew up with brothers. Like, mm-hmm. neither. Like, you know, besides friendships with women, like, I've never dated women. So I don't know, like, what attracts men. Like, because this girl on this TV show, mm-hmm. she drops the pitch of her voice every time she's talking to these guys.
No,
or
she
raises
it.
So she starts going, hey, it's me, it's Jessica.
Well, hey. I think I have theories
yes.
about this.
Yes.
I think that there is a, I have a lot of theories. But I think that, like, especially straight men have grown watching porn.
Uh-huh.
And they learned that to be attractive. And so those voices and those attitudes and can be attractive to them because of what it's sold to them to be that. And someone that has a more, like a deeper voice may seem too masculine.
That's interesting.
In a way.
I totally agree with that voice lowering, raising thing because, you know, like Elizabeth Holmes, from the whole Theranos blood scandal. Like she, well, anyway, we're not going to get into her scandal. Look it up on Netflix. Great documentary. But it was this cute blonde girl who just talked like this whenever she's on camera because she wants to feel more, like she's presenting herself as more masculine. And she dresses like Steve Jobs, all black, wants to be that masculine personality.
It's kind of like the opposite of like why, like black people doing white voice, like whitewashing themselves is kind of similar to that,
okay.
more or less. Of like if you're doing a more masculine
but
voice.
But in your opinion, but
people should not give a fuck.
Yeah, that's
right.
what I was gonna
but
say.
That,
like
but is it more attractive? Like
if you see somebody
if you hear
doing
a voice
that
like this, Alan, are you like hey,
that's our question. Okay. Is he more attracted to that?
So when
hey, Alan,
you are also changing Alan, your body language when you do that too.
Hey. Right?
You're changing your body language.
But the question is, are you attracted to it, Alan?
So the voice for me actually is a turn off. The body language would be a turn on because I would assume that.
But you can't see it.
But I, well, yeah, yeah. So the voice, I would be thinking this is a child or she's dumb or something that was more along those lines.
But that's what's so interesting about this show, okay? So coming back to this show is that they're in this pod, so it's only their voice that they can hear. And so she's going into this pod and she's immediately changing her voice and she's immediately going, hey, Omega, you're so funny. Uh-huh. You know, yet, and then her on-camera interview, she's like, yeah, I'm a businesswoman. You know, you're like, where's that voice? So, and you wonder, like, in, if you were to meet somebody who does that, right, who changes their voice, would you think, like, they're not being authentic? They're not being themselves.
But some people are looking for that.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people sound like that anyway.
Right. No, totally.
But,
yes.
But not knowing, I would feel really mad if I proposed to that.
And right.
Then,
yeah.
And then she was like, oh, thank God. Now I can talk normally again.
Right.
Well, it's interesting because immediately, and we probably shouldn't, I don't want to ruin the show for people.
No. Just watch it. We love it.
It's so interesting.
It's so interesting.
Because then there's these other couples who meet who you can tell, like, it's a real authentic connection. Mm-hmm. Even through the with the wall being there.
Well, we don't know. We've only gotten through the first episodes.
There's a ghost.
This microphone's turned on by that voice.
It's a really interesting experiment.
Microphone.
Keep talking into it with that high-pitched voice.
And see if it microphone, happens again. What are you doing here?
But also, I will say too, the women do that about like clothing, for example, too. And men do it as well. Of like, if you're, because like I know personally people that will change. I mean, everyone does it a little bit, that you change yourself a little bit when you're trying to attract a specific sure. type of person. But then you also, like, I know people that will, that they are like, I am never going to go out with no makeup and no heels. And even though that's not what they're wearing in their day to day, you know what I mean? Like, it's not,
right.
But every single time they're going to see their dates or they're trying to get dates, this is what they're going to look like until, and even like when they first started dating, until they're comfortable enough with that person to be like, okay, now I can put all my walls down so you can see who I really am, which kind of sucks. I mean, I don't think that's great, but if that is what
it's
you're looking for.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste of time. Yeah.
Well, there's one guy, I just want to talk about this since we kind of opened the door to this. There's one guy who goes on the show, and immediately, I'm just going to say this is so shallow, but he had this beard, and immediately I was like, ew. Like, the beard was gross. And I was like, there's something wrong. Like, there's something weird about the beard. And I remember thinking, like, this guy is, I felt like trying to repel people because of this. I mean, I'm it's totally shallow, but
so
I was,
you wouldn't
my
have dated
perception
him.
Was like, this guy is not aware of his own, like, how he's coming off. And then it was proven to be right when he did not come forward with the wall up and admit his past sexuality, that he was fluid in his sexuality, and he did not tell
the girl
before he
didn't,
proposed.
I thought that was so strange. I was like,
there's like automatically some shame or some guilt or some fear around that for him. And to me, that's where the show kind of, like, there's already a, like, the one person they have on the show who represents something that isn't just heterosexual has a shame and a fear. And that's where I get like kind of issues with the show, where it becomes a little bit of a heteronormative, like, structure that they're trying to, like, fit. And I didn't like that, because he automatically is already defensive about it before he even, like, proposes to the girl.
He just didn't go about it the right way.
And then he proposes to her, and they go to this beautiful Mexican location to have this beautiful vacation. And then he tells her, and she was like,
and then
really
leave it
cool
at that. Don't say too much. Don't say too much more.
But he got so defensive. And that's the only thing about the show. I'm like, you know, I think it's great to have somebody who's fluid, but have somebody who's okay with it, who's not afraid of it. And
wait.
That was my one issue.
So this brings me to my question for you, Brett.
Okay.
Is there something like what's the question? That maybe after a certain amount of time that I said was one thing, and then was I talking like this? And then, like, all of a sudden I was like, what the fuck? No. Was there something like that you thought about me?
You've never done that to me, but I see you do it with other people.
Oh my God.
Like, I will see you, like, because you're so, like, fun and, like, blah, blah, like, playful. And then, like, it's taken a minute, but, like, when we do an interview or something, you'll totally start talking like this. You'll drop your voice down.
Well, because I get nervous. That's not the same
thing. It is the same thing.
Is it?
It's a comfort. It's your safety.
Okay. Well, let me try and think about some that...
Oh. I'm all ears.
Wait, now, do you have a question for me that's similar to that? Or like something like blind, Love is Blind? Inspired?
Well, I wonder if there is anything that surprised you as we started to get more together as our relationship developed. Was there something that surprised you? You were like, I did not see that coming.
I guess one of the things... Again, in the beginning, you used to tell me like stories, I guess maybe pertaining to your family. And I would always say, I'm sure it's not like that. I'm sure you're being dramatic. And then it was really like that. That's so general, but like there was something was going on in the beginning. Oh, I know what it was. In the very beginning of our relationship, Brett has a twin brother. This is like a whole nother episode, but just really quickly, his brother got married very last minute and nobody knew about it. And
no one was invited.
No one was invited. I mean, it was a whole thing. Anyways, but
that's a good episode.
I was trying to, that's still an episode, but I was trying to like calm him down, be like, I'm sure it's really not that. I'm sure. And then like it all,
it was really like
that. I was
that.
Like, oh, okay. So I think that kind of took me a while. Not that I ever thought you were lying, but I was always just like, baby, come on.
You'd be like, it's so dramatic. Yeah. Like, I feel like you've always thought, Brett's being so dramatic. But then I would prove it to be true that the situation was just a dramatic reality.
I would laugh so hard.
So going back to your Disney conversation, I see the dynamic that it's always Brett.
I'm right. Brett's right.
Brett's right. Yeah. Yeah. Steven, you're more the show it to me first.
That's right. No. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of,
I will say this. This is what's so beautiful about our relationship. And what I love about Steven is that I even talk about it with my therapist. It's nothing he hasn't heard before, right? He's a kinesthetic learner. He's a dancer. Like, he has to physically experience something in order to believe it to be true. And it's
how dare you?
What's wrong with that? It's, you know, like, I'm such an intellectual that I will literally, like, in my head, I will already, like,
great. Now here we go.
No. I don't mean it that way. Right. I just mean, like, in my imagination, I will, like, paint the part. Like, I know exactly how our outfits are going to look at Disney, right? I know exactly what we're going to wear and how the photos are going to look. And I've got it all envisioned. And then Steven's like, I don't want to do that. And then we do it. And he's like, that was fun. I'm glad we did that. You know, it's like, that's how we've always been.
All right.
Wouldn't you say?
Not always, but, like, there's a lot of moments like that. I will not say always. I'm not going to agree to that. So, yeah. Where do we go from here?
I don't even
here?
Know where we are.
Yeah,
right now,
but
in our conversation.
We definitely like covered a lot today.
But Love is Blind. We have a lot
Love
of,
is Blind. Watch it.
We have a lot of advice for the people on that show. So feel free to write us in, Jessica.
Or any of them.
Matt.
We love the show. We love the show. And we wish you guys all the best luck. Because, like,
especially Diamond right now.
Diamond. Yes. Like, our heart goes out
We're
to you,
We're thinking
Diamond.
About you, Diamond.
Oh, my God.
And Carlton, we pray for you.
Yeah.
All right. If you want relationship dating advice, make sure you send us a message at BroadwayHusbands.com. Shoot us a DM. And we just might read your question or give advice to you live on the next episode. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands. Check out the Broadway Podcast Network. We are so proud to be members of that network.
BPN.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Bia. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Oh, don't forget
to love who you love
and love what you do.
Till next time.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.